Blog Talk Radio.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
How did Mandela get the will to pass?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrill, America's favorite Southern Belle. Thank you for joining me so bright and early on this Saturday morning. Oh, my goodness. You don't know how much I appreciate all of it. So this morning, I'm going to let you know that we are talking about financial slavery, how to become emancipated. You will get your freedom today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my co-host, the dynamic, the fabulous, the also, I don't know. Running out of adjectives here, Joy Lamar.
Wow, that's a great intro. How you doing, people?
Hey. So, I mean, it has been, I don't know, I would just say an interesting and fabulous week. Definitely want to just send some love right now to everyone that is in Haiti. The devastation there, I just have to say, is unbelievable. It's so sad. Anytime I turn on the news, you know, seeing the stories or whatever. So, people in Haiti, much love from Real Talk Radio to you, you know. I hope God, you know, continues to just help you get through this tragedy. So, Jordan, how was your week?
My week? I don't know. My week was a beginning of a routine, and I could see it coming. Like, I could see myself falling into the robotic, waking up in the morning, doing the same thing every single week. So, I don't know, I guess I'm preparing for it.
Preparing for what? What are you preparing for? You being a little late this morning with us.
For the same old thing every day.
Preparing for the same old thing every day.
Yeah, school, waking up, going to class, going to lift weights, going to sleep, doing homework, doing the same thing every single day.
A routine. Yeah. So, all right, I hear you, robot. I tell you, I don't know. My week is supposed to be the same Monday through Friday, but it is not. I don't know. I got to at some point master this whole waking up in the morning thing. Like, you think after so many years of it, I would have mastered it by now. But I haven't.
I'm changing a lot, though. Like, seriously, I'm starting to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning and trying to get that old soul in me. You know what I'm saying? How old people go to bed early and wake up early. That's what I'm trying to do. It's better for your body.
I don't know. I think more sleep is better for your body. Like, I want all of my sleep. I want all of it. Give me every second.
I wrote this motto out. You can sleep when you die.
You can sleep when you die.
Why sleep now when you can sleep all you want when you die? I mean,
that's what they. You know what? That's my question. Are you really asleep when you die? Because old people say all the time that someone woke up dead. You know, have you ever heard somebody say that? What happened? I heard she passed. I don't know. She went to bed last night. This morning she woke up dead.
You're right.
I mean, but do you really wake up? Like, how do you wake up? You wake up and be like, oh, man, I'm dead. Like, I'm see-through. Like, what's going on?
I'm pretty sure if you wake up, you know that something's not right if you're dead. Like, I mean, maybe God tells you you're dead. Maybe he says that. I don't know.
You wake up and God's sitting there like, you know you're dead, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. If somebody out there woke up this morning dead, will you call into the show and tell us what it was like? 646 1-800-595-4522. That's the call-in number. If you are interested in calling into the show, you can do that. I will have to say I'm very sad that I did not get to see Dr. Cornel West. He was in Atlanta Monday, of course, at Ebenezer for the Big King Day celebration. I'm a little sad that I did not get to see him because, you know, everybody knows that I just think that Dr. Cornel West is, like, phenomenal. He is an awesome guy. If you've never met him in person, you have to do that before you die. Like, put that on your list of things to do before you die. Hear Dr. West. Definitely. And I started reading his book. Have you read his new book, Living and Loving Out Loud, his memoir? Have you started reading that, Jordan?
No, I haven't started yet. Maybe I should, like, put that in the library real soon.
Yes. The book, I have to say, just from, like, once you get started, it's a page-turner. And I'm one of these people who I don't like to read these unless I can really devote my time to it. One, because if you've never met me in person, you probably are unaware of this, but I am a bit ADHD. And so I'm easily distracted, and I will have conversations with people and will not remember the conversation just because there might have been something shiny in the room. And so I... Say what?
I said, wow. Yes, I don't think I go around telling people that, but okay.
I mean, because people tend to get a little upset with me because I don't remember that. Like, prime example, yesterday, like, when school let out, I was rushing to get to the chorus room for my step practice or whatever. And in the process of that, my mother called me, or I called her. I'm not exactly sure. I think maybe she sent me a message to call her. And so while I was resting the practice, I gave her a call. And I had an entire conversation with her. But, like, once I got off from work and I left, I was like, didn't I talk to my mama? I was like, did I hang up on her? Because, like, honestly, I couldn't remember if I finished the conversation or if I just hung up on her. Like, I could not remember, and I had to seriously sit and think about that thing because I got a little nervous. I'm like, did I get distracted and just hang up on my mom because I was rushing to practice? And I realized that, no, I didn't. You know, it was just, I don't know. I just did not remember the conversation until I got done. So
I don't want to do that in the most significant situations, like you just swimming and you forget that you're swimming because you see something shiny and then you just start drowning or something. Like, I hope you don't.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. Let's hope that I'm not, like, I don't know, sleeping and forget I'm alive and wake up dead or something. I don't know. But anyway, let's just get started with talking about things this morning. So we're talking about financial slavery. If you saw, you know, the show and everything, you're probably like, oh, my goodness, what is she talking about, financial slavery? Well, just like we said last week with Cream, cash rules everything. Let's just be honest about that. So financial slavery means that you are – You know, you're a slave to your finances. Your finances are your slave master. They have whipped in the chains, and they have you shackled. Your pocketbook, your bank account, I mean, anything dealing with finances in your life has you shackled. That's what I mean by that. So today I want to emancipate you. I want to help you become emancipated. And I know if you heard me last week, we were supposed to have a guest on, and I'm not sure what happened with that, but just want to send a shout-out to Mr. Howard, wherever you are. You know, we are missing you on the show. But me and Jordan, people, we're ready. You know that.
Yes, we
are. We are ready. We are ready.
Yes.
We are here for you.
Yes, for you people, for you.
You people. Doggone it, and not the way George Bush said it. Okay, so anyway, let's get started. So you are a slave to your finances. Well, I don't know if you are one of those people who's like me, who's kind of become overwhelmed with things, and you really don't know where to start, and you just want somebody to give you a starting point. Like, you're just kind of flailing around in the water, and someone needs to point out and say, hey, swim this way. So that's what we're going to start out. So the first thing is that you need to do, and, you know, love Susie Orman. She is just, like, dynamic with the finances and empowering people. First thing you need to do is get a grip. You are in debt. You're in debt. In case you didn't know that and you were a little confused, I'm here to tell you that you're in debt. Okay? And that's a big first step. You know, people always say, you know, the first step is accepting that you have a problem. So this is your AA today, okay? Just stand up and say, hi, my name is, and I'm in debt. First step.
Yeah, you're right. Because it is not okay. It is not okay that you are in debt these days.
It's not okay, but it's not the end of the world.
Yes, it is.
And some people feel as though it's the end of the world, and it's not the end of the world. You just, like Christopher Columbus discovered, the world is round, so you're not going to fall off unless you just want to. So, like, first thing first, like, track your spending. And I said that last week. You know, I asked everyone to go and print off your bank statement, whatever, and just go through and highlight and see exactly what you're spending and where you're spending it at. So I'm wondering if anyone actually went through the process of tracking their spending, because that is, like, such a huge thing. Tracking your spending is huge.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely huge. I mean, you don't know what you're spending on, how could you save? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, and that's the biggest thing, because sometimes we are a little bit oblivious to exactly what we're spending money on. We become very oblivious to that just because it's so easy to swipe that check card. It's very easy to swipe a check card, a credit card. It's very easy. So you kind of get lost in all of that. So it's huge that you actually track the spending. You know where your money is going, because maybe you're under the impression that you're only spending a little bit of money on food, and you find out you're spending 50% on food. You know, that's a huge thing. So you want to track your spending. And I say that before you actually get started, like, these things, go a month ahead. Like, go back to last month, track your spending, see where you spent your money on. Okay, and also, get your credit card statement. Like, if you know, online bill pay has made everybody lazy, because now you don't really even have to open your bill. Like, you pretty much know, like, okay, I'm going to pay this much every month, and you just set it. And so when the bills come, you don't actually open them and look at them, because you just already have things set to pay. But it's very important that you know what your interest rates are and you know what your balance is. That is, like, huge. You need to know what your balance is. And maybe even start, like, you know, setting up some kind of expense sheet or something like that. Like, what do you think, Joy?
What now?
I say, what, like, expense sheets. Like, I'm thinking, you know, once you see where your money's going, maybe, like, I'm a visual person, so I would like to, like, put it in, like, a pie chart or something and just see what the pie looks like.
I mean, from my personal perspective, I mean, you have to see it. You don't see it, you don't believe it. And, like, we are creatures that like to see, you know what I'm saying, like, what it is that we're doing. You have to sit down and see, okay, these are my expenses, this is what I'm spending, this is what I make, and you need to see this out on the table, I guess. Put it all out on the table. I mean, it takes maybe 30 minutes at the max. It won't take you long to get organized, and I think that's one of the keyest things to it, is just being organized enough to sit down and put this all out on Front Street for yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a scary thing to do that, you know, because we love illusions.
Yeah.
And I think it's a scary thing to kind of have to face that music, like, okay, wow, I spent, you know, $600 last month on alcohol.
Yeah, that's crazy, but I honestly think that once you begin to look at it, you look at your costs. If you have more bills than you do have income, obviously that's the whole idea of being in debt. But if you have that, maybe you should start chipping away slowly at certain things. You got to really come to the realization that you're not going to get out of debt in the next 2 weeks. You got to realize that. And you're going to have to fight to dig yourself out of this hole that you put yourself in.
Yes, I can agree with you on that, definitely. Now, this is the thing. Now, you brought up something very important. You were like, you know, if you have, you know, more bills and you have income coming in, you need to cut at least 10% of your spending.
10%?
At least 10%.
And what do you mean by 10%?
I mean, if you realize not including, like, bills and things, like, of course, there are certain bills that you're just going to have to pay, but things outside of that, gym memberships, eating out, cell phone bills maybe, or house phone, like, things that are not necessities, and things that you can actually cut, like, you can't cut your power off. Because you need electricity and things like that. And, I mean, and even with your grocery bill, because people will say, well, you have to eat food, but you need to cut 10%. Because if you're spending, like, you're spending $700 a month, things that are possibly expendable, you need to cut 10% of that. You need to cut that by $70, like cut 10% of that out. Because there are so many things that you can actually cut out that you don't realize you can live without because you're just so used to having them.
Oh, yes. That includes the cable bill, too. Cable is a...
Oh, man.
That's a luxury. That is a luxury. I mean, even the internet service, like, that is very unnecessary if you're trying to get yourself out of debt. I mean, honestly, let's just be real about the situation. This is real talk, right?
Yeah, it is.
Exactly. Cable bills out the window.
Cable bill. Jordan, you're so cruel. So cruel.
Yeah. What can I say?
Now, I'm going to say this. Now, I don't believe you need a house phone and a cell phone.
You know, I argue with my mother about it. I don't know why she does that. Like, I really don't understand why she does. I'm like, what's the point of having a house phone and a cell phone? Like, that's kind of crazy. Yeah, it's lunatic. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the thing about it is, and this is one of the things with the house phone, because they have, you know, figured out a way how to get you, because they tie your house phone, your cable, and your internet all into one bill, and they're saying, you know, we're going to give you all three for the low price of $99. And so you like three services, $99, like that sounds fantastic. But honestly, a basic home phone line through a regular telephone company is like $12 a month. That's no call ID or any of those other things, I mean, but you have a house phone. I mean, if somebody calls you don't want to talk to, just hang up.
You ain't got to hang up. Just don't answer. I mean.
I guess you don't, but the thing about it is some people have argued that they need a house phone because of the cell phone minutes, blah, blah, blah. Well, most people now, you know, have, you know, two big companies out there, AT&T and Verizon, when it comes to the cell phone coverage. So, I mean, just do this whole thing where, okay, well, I'm just going to call you on your cell phone because those minutes are free. That's what I do. You know, all of my friends that have Verizon, like me, I can talk to them all day long for free. And, I mean, and honestly, you don't really need to do a whole lot of talking during the day. You should be at work or reading or doing something, you know, productive, constructive, and just talk to them after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can definitely spend that. The other argument about the house phone has been that needed for the alarm, which that is true. Most alarm companies do not want to connect the alarm to a cell phone, which I find it sort of crazy because they only want that to call you if the alarm goes off.
Yeah.
But if they call your house and they don't get you and your alarm went off, what are they going to do? They're going to call the other numbers they have for you. So some companies actually have realized that they were kind of missing out on that money just because you have to have a house phone for it. So if you have an alarm, I advise you to call them and find out if they can actually connect you through your cell phone. And there you go. Now there's no reason to keep your house phone. You can just set it off and save that money. But cutting the 10% is vital. Like, it is vital, vital, vital to cut that 10%. So, I mean,
that 10% could be in some of the smallest things, too. I mean, do your part in cutting off lights in your household. My father is, like, the guru of not turning a light on if you don't need it. Like, he sits down in the dark everywhere. Watching TV, he uses the bathroom in the dark. Honestly. So, like, I don't know, cutting lights off.
Press pause. Using the bathroom in the dark?
Yes, I'm sorry that your ADHD has not allowed you to, your ADD kind of kicked in kind of late. things like that.
Is
that sanitary? How is it? Okay. Wouldn't that be sanitary? Please explain this to me.
Okay, I mean, if you're using the bathroom in the dark as a guy, are you really looking where you're aiming?
Oh, that doesn't mean you're standing up. Does that mean you're standing up?
I mean, I thought guys stand. I'm sorry.
Is this really going to be the conversation topic?
I'm like, so sorry, Joy, but you're like, that was so unexpected, to use in the bathroom in the dark. I would have to put that on my list of extremes.
No, I'm just saying. Like, that's just an example. I'm not telling people to do that. Oh, my God. You're a handful. You are a handful.
I hope I am two handfuls, doggone it. I like to keep things occupied. So, okay. Past Jordan's suggestion, I'm just teasing. He said, do not do that, people. The other thing that's very important once in this first phase is to check your credit profile. And it is, that's a scary thing. I will admit that if you're in debt and actually getting your credit report, scary. It's very, very scary to get your credit report and to look at it, especially if you get your score. Your credit score, yeah, that's scary. That's very scary because it ranges, I think, from like 300 to 850, and the higher the number, the better your credit, the lower the number, you know, the worse your credit. Yikes.
Yeah. Yes, your credit score is very important, people, I promise you. I've known so many people in this world who have made the statement of, well, I got bad credit. I'm always have bad credit, so I might as well mess it up even more. Like, that's like one of the, I don't know, that's just ignorance or that's just, I don't know, stupidity. Like, don't mess your credit up worse just because you have bad credit. Credit is very important, I mean, honestly. Things come cheaper. It comes easier when your credit score is good. So, I mean, I promise you, you should try to get it as high as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you should. And I guess this is the whole point of all of these things, is to start, like, getting your score up. And I will tell you this. This is something I learned years ago. You do not raise your credit score by closing your account. I'm in debt, I'm just going to close all of my credit card accounts. That does not raise your score. That actually lowers your score because there's nothing really being marked once you actually pay them off. It's not going to be marked on your credit report. So that's just a little FYI for YOU. So we're going to get a grip, Jordan. We're going to accept the fact that we're in debt. We're going to admit it, and we're going to start trying to get out of it. The next thing we're going to do is find hidden savings. And I guess we've kind of touched on that a little bit already, but finding hidden savings, and that goes into the whole thing you talked about, maybe, well, that's more or less cutting, but like finding hidden savings is deals you did not know you could get. You know what I'm saying? And it's not really about cutting what you have when you find a deal. Like, I see these progressive commercials all the time. And, you know, they talk about, you know, compare their rate to everybody else's rate. And then, like, and most places have that now. I think State Farm has one, too. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with shopping around to see if you could get a better deal. Just because you've always had, you know, insurance with this place doesn't mean that you need to continue to have insurance with them. Because, you know, new companies are popping up all the time. New deals and things are always being set. So, I mean, that's just like one of the things that could possibly happen that would help. And if you cut those deals or whatever, you know what I'm saying, that's like money in the bank. So I think that it would be worth it, you know, to spend a day calling around, checking out new rates, or do it online. Do the compare rate and then call them and see if that rate is really, you know, good. I mean, at best, what? You save some money. At worst, you don't. Just my thoughts. And hidden savings, too. Now, this is the thing, because I made that announcement to my friends. I was like, my home is officially a great value home. Like, no joke about it. It really is. And, I mean, and that's one of the places where you can kind of find hidden savings if you, you know, you have to do a lot of grocery shopping to actually start looking at buying store brands versus the name brand items. Might be surprised at what you start to find that you can actually, like, save or whatever. So, I don't know. What are your suggestions for finding hidden savings?
I mean, hidden savings, like, can come everywhere. I mean, my cousin does this, and it trips me out. Every time I see him, it seems like he's fresh, he's clean. But he was like, man, I bought all this from Walmart. He bought all of his clothes from Walmart. No, he's not cheap. He's just smart about his money. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess it comes from many different areas when it comes to saving your money, being more smart, being smart about your spending. Realizing that it's not about the urban fashion, it's not about the pride of having Bounty over Brawny or something like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a very thin line between the two, because they're all going to get the job done.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can agree with that. And there are some things, you know, that I just always kind of felt like I had to have the name brand or whatever. So I don't know, but I've learned that you would just say, you know, they pretty much do all get the job done, and that's a great way to kind of get those hidden savings, because you can buy the discount clothes, and if you take care of them, they do look great. I mean, that's the truth, because I don't know. There are certain things that I feel like, okay, like my shoes are one, and, you know, buying good shoes is one thing, but you don't have to have $500 jeans. I just think that you need to kind of pick and choose one or the other.
Yeah, according to your budget, that's the thing.
Exactly. Another thing that you can do to kind of cut costs, and this is one that maybe people don't really think about, is look at your bank. What kind of fees are you being charged? You know, I've been hearing a lot of great things about credit unions. And I'm actually in the process of looking at some credit unions just kind of see, because I've been hearing that credit unions really have good deals as far as their fees and all things like that. And then even when it comes to loans, that they are, you know, they negotiate better with things as far as like buying cars and houses and things like they get you some really, really good deals. So I mean, it might definitely be worth it to check out a credit union. And if you don't know where a credit union is around you, you can go to findacreditunion.com, and that will, like, tell you, you know, different places or whatever in your area where credit unions are. So right now, we're going to break from all of this chattering that we're doing and going to take a call. And those of you who are listening, if you love to call in and talk to us, 646-595-4522. Call in and talk to me, your host, Kay Sherrell, or you can talk to Joy Lamar. You know, it's up to you. Good morning, you're on the air. This is Real Talk Radio. Who am I speaking with?
Tia.
Good morning, Tia. What's your comment for us this morning talking about financial slavery?
I think that we do need to get from under that whip, but also, as you just mentioned about the different places where you can go find bargains, there are a lot of people who you see dressed to a T, and they don't spend a whole lot of money. And it's not necessarily a black or white thing, but like Jordan mentioned, you will see a lot of white people that are just dressed, but they're not going out buying all of the name brand clothes. And if they do have them, they're going to, like, yard sales and consignment shops. Personally, work at a consignment shop, and I have a lot of people that come in here and buy the clothes that we have, and they are name brand clothes, and they're only spending maybe $2 or $3 for those name brand clothes. I also have a friend that lives in Florida, and he was telling me about some of the guys that work for the different technology computer system programs companies, and they ride around in broken down Honda Accords and that type of thing, but they are almost millionaires, and it's not because they're showing what they have, because if you look at them, you think they're just a regular joke. But they have great credit, you know, they have money in the bank, but it's all about how you spend your money and where you go buy things. Name brand doesn't make it better.
Yes, you're right. You're right. And, like, I guess the whole idea that you can have money, the whole thing is about making more money, right? I mean, make money, you want to make more money, or you want to keep it in the family type thing. I mean, why not try to limit as much as possible instead of spending just because you have it?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if you spend everything you have, you're never going to have anything anyway. And I guess that is the key. That is, like, one, I guess, the biggest difference between the rich and the poor is how the money is spent. And I don't know, I keep saying that, and I guess it doesn't always register and ring true to some people, but even if, I mean, you can just do it with the simplest things and just kind of watch them and just see, like, okay, because I'm buying my child $150 sneakers, but I make minimum wage, but this child's parents, you know, they're, you know, almost millionaires, and their child is walking around, you know, with Payless on.
Exactly.
You brought up an interesting point about consignment shops and yard sales. Now, many of these consignment shops and things buy clothing from, you know, just the general public, and so that's definitely one way that you can sort of get some money as well, too. Look in your closet and see things that you haven't worn in forever and just take them out and see what they offer you for. I mean, if you don't ever wear the shirt, then and they're going to give you, you know, $3 for the shirt, why not, rather than just have it sitting in your closet so your closet looks full?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would rather have a full wallet, I think, any day of the week than to have a full closet. I don't know. Except for maybe the handbags. In the shoes. Well, Tia, I thank you so much for calling in and joining us this morning. I hope you will continue to listen to the show. We appreciate your response. Anyone else out there that you have a comment for me or for Jordan, give us a call, 646-595-4522. Jordan, let me ask you this, because in a conversation you and I had previously, you mentioned something about a list of some of the dumbest things that money are spent on. Like, do you have a list?
I don't personally have a list, but I do know people who do have a list. Oh, my God. Like, I spent a week with my uncle, and, like, he gave me the lowdown and dirty of his top 10 ways, dumbest ways to spend money. Now, granted, my uncle is paid. I mean, he lives a pretty good life. Let's put it like that. But as if he had to earn his way, I guess that's what he would say. Like, I mean, he said, "Are you really gonna spend your money on getting a haircut? Like, that's crazy. That's stupid."
Well, how much was the haircut? Was it like a $20 haircut or something? Because I can agree with him on that.
No, it was a $8 haircut. It was $8. And, like, what's crazy about it, $8 is down from what it is right now. It's like $12 now. Like, an $8 haircut at a professional. He said that that's stupid. I can go buy some clippers and I can use them for the rest of my life and I can get somebody to cut my hair every day. I was like, are you serious right now? He said that with a straight face. And I mean, honestly, if you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Why not you learn how to, I mean, it does make sense. How about you learn how to cut your own hair and then you won't have to worry about it? I mean, my uncle, granted, that sounds kind of frugal. I mean, just he doesn't spend money on anything other than food and shelter. That's how
that's a nice word. Your uncle is cheap. I'm teasing,
cheap.
Uncle. If you're listening, I'm teasing. I'm teasing, kind of, sort of. Not really. Okay, wait a minute. I'm intrigued now. You got to tell me more about the list. Like, what else is on the list other than a haircut? A haircut is one of the dumbest things to spend your money. Like, what else? Is there something sensible that's on this list?
I mean, there's just so many dumb things. Like, he was like, okay, his thing was when he was in college, he said he had $16 to live off of a month.
$16
a month? Yes, because, like, you got to think, this was in 85. This was in 1985 now. He was like, I have $16 to live off of a month. And he said every single month he carried over at least $8 into the next month.
What?
How does one get? And he said serious, because, like, I didn't hear this from him. I heard this from my mother, his brother, I mean his sister. And I was trying to figure this out. I was like, are you serious? He was like, yeah. He was like, he did not spend money. He found everything that you did not need to spend money on, and he said he refused to spend money on it. Hairbrush, little bitty small things like that. He's like, that's stupid. Those are little bitty stupid costs that you really don't need. I learned how to cut my hair, and I was like, I see why your hair is shaped like that, because it's just kind of, you know, like your hair, like, it's just crazy.
That's funny. Okay. a hairbrush, that's on the dumbest, wow. But $16 a month, like, he is the new Susie Orman. Like, he definitely needs to do that. If he lived off $16 a month and he carried money over every month, like, seriously, that needs to be in a book, because I don't even know how I would live off of $16 a week, not if I have to buy gas.
See, that's the thing. He didn't have a car. He was in Oklahoma. We're from Tifton, Georgia. That's, I don't even know how to do it, 16 hours or something like that, away from home. I mean, it wasn't like he was able to get money. It wasn't like he was able to work. He played football. So, I mean, obviously, that money had to have carried over. So it had to last.
Wow. $16 a month. Your uncle is my hero. Like, I am tripping out off of that. I'm loving every second of this. Right now, I'm going to go back to the lines and see who is on the air with us. Good morning. You're on the air with Kay Terrell and Jordan Lamar. Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hey.
How are you doing? Who am I speaking with?
Morning. How are you? This is Donnell.
Good morning, Donnell. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just listening at, you know, the financial slavery thing. And, you know, me being, you know, I'm 35 years old right now. But back when I was a late teen, you know, early 20s, you know, I messed my credit up real bad. Back then, it was like, you know, people were offering me money, but, you know, I always got the money, but I never paid them back. Yeah, and you know, I messed myself up, but now I'm in the progress right now, you know, getting everything straightened back out.
Okay, so like,
yeah.
What are some of the steps you're taking to get yourself straightened back out?
Well, I'm working on it. I've been, my brother, you know, he's helping me. You know, my brother Timothy, he's helping me out. You know, so, you know, I'm going off his lead, you know, on what to do about it. You know, and I advise anybody, if you get credit, you know, keep it up, because this is no joke.
No, credit is no joke. It definitely is one of those things that I guess we don't learn to take serious enough early on, because, you know, most of them realize that credit scores keep you from getting a job.
Right.
You know, housing, transportation, all of those things, like, don't really realize that it's serious. Like, your credit score is a serious thing. And I find it a little bit depressing that credit card companies target you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to get credit cards and things when you're barely legal. And I don't know. I think there should be some type of law against that.
It should. Yeah, it should. But there isn't.
Do you think it's bad that we don't know, or is it bad that we don't teach our young about this? Like, that's the crazy thing I feel. Because, I mean, if you were teaching your children about interest rates and things like this, once they get at a certain age and begin to start, they're smart about their finances. They know that to stay away from credit card companies, stay away from this, stay away from loan sharks and things like that. Like, I mean, are we teaching our children not to do this?
That is interesting. Down there, if you don't mind me asking, since we have you on the line, like, where did you get your information about credit and how important it was? Like, did your parents teach you?
Well, my parents, they always had great credit, but, you know, I left home at an early age, though. You know, I wanted to be a man, so I thought I was doing manly things, but, you know, getting money and not paying it back, I didn't know that the repercussions would be so bad on me right now, you know. I didn't care about it, really, you know.
Because when you're young, you know, the early teens or whatever, you seem indestructible, and I guess that's part of the thing like that. But I guess I definitely want to commend you now for actually not wanting to be accepting of the mistakes that you have and really taking steps to, like, teach things. So that is definitely something positive. And
right.
So, you know, it's definitely great that you do have family that is willing to sort of help you, someone who knows a little bit more than you, to help
right.
you get out of that state. So that's definitely a positive thing. You know,
yeah.
your brother is awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the thing about it is, too, I don't know if you have kids or not, but you can definitely teach your kids based on your experiences. So hopefully
right.
they won't do the same thing that you did.
Right. That's my point exactly.
Yes,
I mean,
definitely always
about,
wants to stop the vicious cycle.
If
yeah.
you think about the kids of rich people, I mean, they keep a lot of the finances in the family. I mean,
yeah.
you hear about rich people, kids growing up to do exactly what their father did or what their mother did. They're going to join the family business. I mean, I don't think as African-Americans we do that enough. You know what I'm saying? We don't keep the money in the family, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? We don't teach our kids how to balance, check and balances. We don't teach them what it is about bank accounts that we need to know. We don't teach them things that what to do. I mean, that's probably part of the reason why a lot of us are in debt, because we're just ignorant about the situation.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely part of it. Well, Donnell, I want to say thank you for calling in this morning and joining us. I do hope that you will continue to listen to the show. So, Jordan, let's get to this last step as far as things like that. And I guess this is one of the things you don't really think about when you're thinking about getting out of debt. You got to start kind of building some type of security for yourself. You need that security blanket. Just because you're in debt and you're trying to get out of debt, you still need to save. And I don't think people really believe that you need to save, because you're really thinking like, oh, no, I need to take all of my money and put it towards getting out of debt. But at the same time, it's very important that you have some type of financial security, and not for you, but for your family. I mean, because if there is an untimely death, you know, you don't want your family to be burdened with, you know, the financial aspects of it.
Oh boy, that will tear a family down. That'll break it apart.
That's true. I mean, and I guess it's very important that you do have insurance. I mean, that's one of the things. Like, if you don't have insurance, you really need insurance, especially if you're in debt. You really need insurance because you don't want your family having to have fish fries or whatever to try and raise money to bury you. And in some cases, you don't want them to lose everything. Either you want some kind of security. If you have kids and you die, you don't want them to, you know, lose. You know what I'm saying? You don't want the house to be lost and all of those sort of things. Like, the security blanket is necessary. It's very necessary. Look at 401k plans at your job. Look at insurance at your job. Things like that. I mean, I advise you to have insurance outside of just your job. I mean, but you need insurance. And if you know, even if you can't afford a big policy that'll pay off everything when you die, at least get enough to have yourself buried and have a decent funeral so that that burden is not there. Look at 401k plans at your job. Look at RAs and things like that. Just, and you know, go to your benefits person at your job and just really see what kind of things that you can do, because it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, start out very small. I mean, it can be as minimal as $25 a month.
Yeah.
That small. And, you know, we can find $25 a month. If you take Joan's suggestion and cut your cable off, there's your $25 right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still have some change. I mean, so definitely look at all of that. Now, what I don't advise is putting your money just completely in someone else's hands to get you out of debt. I feel like you need to take some type of authority in it yourself just so you know what's going on with your money, because I can remember from, you know, when I was growing up, you know, you hear about these different celebrities and things who go bankrupt, and part of that is because somebody else was handling their money. And I think that if you get yourself in debt, you really need to play a big role in getting yourself out. Seek some type of financial counseling. You can go as far as that, and there are all types of companies out there who do nothing but help get you out of debt. One thing that is interesting, and I know a lot of people want quick fixes, and there are people out there who say that they can fix your credit score without you paying any bills.
Yeah, I've seen the commercials. I don't understand what exactly is that.
I don't really know exactly what it is either. I know several people who have actually did that. And you pay these people a lot of money to fix your credit for you. But it's a temporary fix. I do know that. One guy who did it, he told me that basically the lady just sort of hid a lot of stuff on his credit report. Like, somehow or another, she was able to, like, access it and just basically just move the stuff, like, temporarily took it off of his credit report, so that when he went to get a house, it, you know, these things weren't showing on there.
Is that just putting you in more debt?
It is.
Then that's stupid. I don't know. Maybe I have to do some more research on that, because then I don't know.
It sounded very crazy to me. The other guy who I know did the thing, he said that some kind of, like, basically did not really take everything off your credit, but what they were able to do was manipulate the numbers so that it raised your credit score. And, again, it's temporary, because, like, everybody I know that did it tell me that it's temporary, that basically, whatever it is that you're trying to buy, you have to buy it within 3 months. So if you're trying to buy a house and you need your credit up to buy a house, you have to buy your house within 3 months, because in that period of time, all of this stuff is going to show back up on your report. I just don't know how true all of this is. And that's why I just say be cautious of that, because I don't really believe there's a get rich quick scheme out there. You know what I'm saying? You didn't mess your credit up overnight, and I just don't think you're going to be able to fix it overnight, regardless of what somebody's telling you. And it's a lot of money. I mean, you spending, you know, everybody that I know that did it spent, you know, like over $400 doing this. So if you can take $400 to try to get this little quick fix, can't you take that $400 and pay off something?
Exactly.
I don't know. That's my thought about it. So I'm just telling you to be cautious, to be very, very cautious of it. Now, the other thing is I know, too, and this goes back to the credit report, you know, I've been told by many people smarter than I that when you get your credit report, you need to dispute everything on your credit report. Because apparently, like, if you, like, all disputes have to be handled within a certain period of time. I think it's 30 days or something like that. So if you dispute it and they don't come back and say no, that this is, you know, valid on the credit and prove it, it comes off of your credit report. So, you know, that's definitely something you want to look at. I mean, just because even some things that are very old, like there's a time limit on how long things are supposed to stay on your credit report anyway. So, you know, get it. You know, let's get empowered, people. Let's quit being afraid. Let's take charge.
Yeah.
Take charge. Put your game face on. No. Put your game face on. Get ready. Get ready for battle. So definitely going to try to get more of the information up on the website. Check it out, SherelleInc.com. You can always find information on the Blog Talk Radio / Kimberly-Sherelle. You can always find the information there. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, all of those things. Definitely hit Jordan up. He's on Twitter as well. He is your, what, Lamar All-Star?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes, he has a big ego. Lamar All-Star, he's on Twitter. Facebook fan, Kimberly-Sherelle. Do all of the MySpace things. Right now, because last week we didn't get to it, and I have to say that this is probably one of my favorite parts of the show, the crazy headlines of the week.
Yeah.
So I have a couple that are just, I don't know. I don't know if you call them crazy or if you just really want to say that you're an idiot.
What's today's crazy headline?
Cop. Mom forces son to kill hamster for bad grade.
Say what?
Mom forces son to kill hamster for bad grade.
Bad grade? Are you serious? Like, is that animal cruelty or something?
Yes, it is animal cruelty. Like, and this is what's crazy. It happened near me. It happened in Meriwether County, which is south of Atlanta.
Nothing good.
So this 38-year-old lady, Lynn Middlebrooks Geeter, forced her 12-year-old son to kill his hamster with a hammer after he made a bad grade in school.
Ah, damn, it's a bad. A 12-year-old kid, like, I mean, it ain't like 12 years old, your grades can be that bad. But
I mean, it can, but not where you need to go and kill, you know, a pet or
innocent
something.
Animals, yeah.
And people don't realize that's how serial killers start. Serial killers start first by torturing and killing animals, and then they move on to people. I don't know what this lady was thinking. I mean, you force your son to kill his hamster with a hammer? You're an
why
idiot.
Why would a hammer? Like, at least he can flush it down the toilet or something. Like, why a hammer? Like, why do you hit? I don't think I ever understand that, so I'm just going to leave it alone.
I mean, and it's crazy, and she has been arrested because of that, because the child went back to school the next day and told his teacher that what his mom made him do, and the teacher called DFACS, and DFACS contacted the police, and she was arrested, and
yeah,
she has
cruel
been charged with, yeah, I mean, and you have traumatized this child. I mean, what, I don't understand, you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have traumatized this child for the rest of his life. You force him to kill something. Why? I mean, that's dumb. Take away his Xbox, his cell phone. You make him kill his pet hamster? You're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she has been charged with one count of animal cruelty and one count of child cruelty and battery.
Battery.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, this child is never going to look at you the same.
No, not just the child, a parent. I mean, who, I don't know. Maybe the kid is interviewed in any other different ways or something like that, because this just don't spontaneously happen. Something else has had to happen that'll kind of put a question mark over her parenting skills.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. That's like one of the crazy ones. The other one that I just found that is absolutely crazy and sort of, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what to say about this one. New York dairy farmer kills 51 cows, commits suicide.
He committed suicide after killing 51 cows?
51. Like, I mean, you couldn't stop at 50 and let that last cow live so he could tell the story?
Yeah. God. Like, what if... Like, are you serious? Oh, okay, okay, okay. So one person killed 51 cows. Okay, like, how do you look out the window and you see this person just shooting down cows and you just, do you stop it?
You know what? Good question. What do you do? I think, you know, I don't know, since he was a dairy farmer, we probably were all inside, you know, in those little,
I don't speak farmers. But I'm sure you hear it takes more than one shot to kill a cow. So I'm pretty sure you hear 70-something shots. He had to reload his gun, obviously. So, I mean, just constantly hearing the bang, 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 bang. I mean, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And he killed 51 cows, 51 of his own milk cows in his barn before turning the rifle on himself.
Wow. That's
crazy. I mean, why? Why did the cows have to die? Okay, I understand. This is what I always say. Okay, you don't want to live, that's your business. Don't take me with you. Like, I like life, okay? It might suck at times, but I'm very much in love with being alive. Like, why do you need to take me with you? That's why I don't understand the whole suicide bomb thing. Like, you know, you don't want to be here? You know, cool. Jump off a bridge. But why you got to take me with you in the process? Why did the cows have to die, sir? Why did the cows have to die? So he killed the one right, like, you know, I don't know. Like, that's crazy to me. Can you kill a cow, you know, with one shot? Like, I wonder how many shots he had to fire to kill 51 cows.
I'm trying to figure out, like, whoever sold him the ammo, like, why wouldn't they start asking questions? Because it'll take, obviously, a lot of shots. So you sold and got him in it, that much ammo, and you didn't ask questions? Like,
well, I mean,
what are you preparing for?
I mean, that's under the assumption, though, that he bought all the ammo at one time. I mean, he could very well just have a ton of it anyway, you know, every so often go buy some. I don't know.
Dairy farmer? What does a dairy farmer need ammo for? Please tell me.
I mean, maybe he hunts. I don't know.
In New York, yeah, probably.
Okay, and so he killed, and then he killed himself with a rifle. How do you kill yourself with a rifle?
Ricochet? I don't know. Maybe it was an accident.
No, because he left a note, and this is how, like, he left a note on the outside of his barn, said, "Do not come in the barn, call the police." So,
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
kind of weird.
But the sweet part of it is that other local farmers came together and they all buried the cows he murdered. So,
wow.
I don't know. But, I mean, it's fun. I guess times are even hard for the farmers. They don't even want their cows to go on without it. But, people, it's that time to end the show. Just want to say thank you for tuning in. Join us next week, same time, same place. Jordan, always a pleasure to be on the air with you. Any final comments?
No comments at all. I never have any comments. I'm going to have to come up with some next time.
Jordan has comments, people. He just keeps secrets from all of you. Next week, I'm thinking I'm going to tell you some of his secrets.
Wow.
He does. He has secrets, people. There's something he's not telling you, and I'm going to tell you next week. So just tune in if you want to hear all of Jordan's secrets.
Hello?
Yes. So right now we're going to go ahead and take you out, of course, with K-9. Just take a minute, people, and let everything breathe, because life is too short to kill 51 cows.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. How did Mandela get the will to surpass the everyday when injustice had him caged and trapped in every way? How did Gandhi ever withstand the hunger strikes and all? Didn't do it to gain power or money, if I recall, it's a gift. I guess I'll pass it on. Mother thinks it'll lift the stress of Babylon. Mother knows. My mother, she suffered blows. I don't know how we survived such violent episodes. I was so worried. It hurts to see.